John chapter 2. What month is it? March. Was it the 12th? So it took us 2 months and 12 days to get to the first chapter of John. Where does that put us finishing the book of John? That's a good question. I'm so excited to be where we're at right now. This is a good thing about preaching through parts of the Bible is when you get to places that you absolutely love, and as you grow in faith and you grow in your walk with Christ, you get to see the scriptures. The scriptures never change. Your experience on the earth changes, so therefore it gives you a different perspective of the scriptures. Does that make sense? So when you think the scriptures are changing, they're not. It's you that's changing, and they just mean something different to you when you see it. I had a great opportunity this last month, somewhere about 3 or so weeks ago, we had about 5 to 7 people get saved here. After that, we went to Wild Game Supper over in Ottawa. It butts up against Cleveland as well. And we had about 16 to 17 people get saved. And plus, I've been in correspondence with the man who put on the event, and he's been calling me about 3 or 4 different men who absolutely radically have been changed. I'm talking about from alcoholics outside the will of God to bringing their families to church. And so I'm not really a big numbers guy on like this or that or the other. I love when somebody calls me after I leave and they call me back and say, we had somebody who's really working in what happened. So I'm just giving you some raw numbers. And I had the great opportunity, man. I want to share a little bit about this. I went down to Hiram, Georgia, Thursday for a little Celebrate Recovery. I preached somewhere in Dalton, and these people that run a CR down in Hiram asked me to come do it. And it was like the UN, the United Nations in there. It was so small. It was kind of a small, it's a huge church, but they were renting out a spot to do Celebrate Recovery until they get another spot. And, they were coming in, and it looked like a hodgepodge, but then all of a sudden, like, it looked like the United Nations. I looked in the crowd, I'm like, man, this is the most diverse crowd I've probably ever preached to in my life. It was amazing. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about people from all over. But we had about 5 to 8 people got saved in that meeting. And what was so amazing, there were people in there sitting in so many different spots. There were about 3 people that got saved that at one point I thought, they're not listening. They don't even know I'm in the room. And it's kind of hard to know when I'm not in the room. Sorry. But when I asked people to come forward, at the end they came forward. And they were the most excited 3 people about salvation. I was like, God, y'all got some good poker faces. I say, I didn't even think you were paying attention. He's like, that's how I learned. But anyway, and the reason I'm not telling you this to brag on anything, I'm telling you that I appreciate the opportunity that you allow me to go and do these things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's not a lot of, I don't have many people that I know that does this. And I know it's outside the box, but I appreciate the opportunity to go and do it. So, thank you. And people are being saved. So when we get to heaven, that'll be a bonus. John chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. Y'all ready to learn? Yeah, there's so much. This is really metamorphosized over time when I read this to a great extent. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. If you can get Jesus by way of the Holy Ghost and as many discipled Christians to your marriage, you might have a wonderful opportunity to have a great marriage. Amen? Wouldn't that be awesome? Could you imagine who invited Jesus' mom, Jesus and the disciples, to a wedding? That's either one of the most lamest weddings ever, or one of the most spirit-filled, amazing weddings ever. Amen? Golly, some of y'all get that later on. Some of you won't. But I'm just saying, what an amazing time it was for Mary and Jesus and the disciples to be at this wedding. Because if you didn't know, the whole Bible, the whole gospel really is hinged on the precept of marriage. Amen? So if you don't really know what I'm saying, I'm going to tell you what I'm saying is this. Before Jesus was the law was what people were married to prior to Jesus coming. And you couldn't be married to anybody but the law until the law died. Just like being married to a man or a woman, there's no divorcement, there's no separation until one of them passes away. Then Jesus came and died on the cross and put our old marriage to death. Y'all not good shouters, I know, but praise God, that's pretty good stuff. Me and you were married to the law. The law is what held us guilty that we couldn't come into the kingdom of God. When Jesus died on the cross and put the law underneath, right, and became a New Testament, which is Jesus Christ, then he says, I will marry you and put you into the kingdom of God. Amen? When we get to heaven, I know it's a weird concept for me to think of. I could easily think of it for my wife, but we are the bride of Christ. God, I could just see myself there in that white gown walking down the hallway now. And God, just Jesus sitting there going, look at her. Boy, look at my bride. Come on, man, that's funny. Y'all can be as stiff as you want to be, but that's just good. Amen. That'll scare you right there. I think Mark, I can't think of God's last name, he goes, that'll make you postpone the wedding. sorry. That'll make you postpone the wedding. Me at the wedding gown there coming down the hall. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Michael's in there on a laugh. But we see that, and I want you to know when we're married up to Christ, we're married for eternity. We are his bride. I hope when you understand this, when we go to heaven, the first 1,000 years is the bride. This is the celebration of the wedding. A good Jewish, back in the Bible times, a good Jewish wedding would go on for about a month. Whew. God says when we get to heaven, it'll be about 1,000 years. Golly, y'all are so cool. I guess, I don't know you flat top mountain folk for this long. I guess a good 1,000-year party ain't no big deal to you guys. You just... Oh, man, that ain't nothing. 1,000 years of just celebration. When you walk into heaven, God is going to be like the bridegroom who's waited on his bride for centuries to show up. Amen? Goodness gracious. I know that's just good to me. When Jesus calls... As Jesus is called and his mother's called and the disciples are there. And you got to understand, I always make a note right there. This is the first public miracle that Jesus worked. This is the first public recorded miracle of Jesus' ministry. Amen? We don't get caught up. We will not get caught up in the verbiage because the verbiage is messed up. Jesus saith unto her, in verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. That is an amazing thing. It's an amazing concept. Why do you think that's an amazing concept, Kevin? This is the reason I think it's an amazing concept. This could be the only place that Mary was hurt by God. Some of your greatest ministry will be had or brought forth out of your greatest hurt. Some of your first ministries and early ministries, important ministries, will be brought forth out of the places you are hurt. God rarely uses your strengths for ministry. He usually uses the place where you were broken the hardest, that you thought you would never share, that you thought you would never let get out of your lips. It's usually the part that you share the most. That's the one thing I love about Celebrate Recovery and going to those meetings a lot of times, because the first two letters or the first two words of their testimonies are usually the things that they hid for decades. Amen? And it makes the enemy powerless. But could you imagine Mary when the word come that she was going to be with child by way of the Holy Spirit, by way of God, and she was going to give birth to the Savior. That's amazing stuff. I want to side preach right here. That's amazing stuff because of this. Mary is the only person on the face of the planet that knew that God was absolutely on the face of the planet and nobody else knew but her. Ooh, wait a minute, let me explain that. Mary is impregnated and starts, first she misses her cycle, then she starts to grow. She's 3 months pregnant, she's 6 months pregnant, she's 9 months pregnant. And ain't nobody, you can lie, cheat, do whatever you want to do, but Mary knows she's never been with a man. And she's sitting there going, I got God. If you run that all the way down to the day of Pentecost, remember when Jesus came by way of the Holy Spirit to fill the church on the day of Pentecost? They were all in the upper room, 120 people. All one mind, one accord. I guarantee Mary was sitting there going, I know exactly how this is going to go. I know exactly what this is about. God on the inside. I've been there. Amen. She's the only one who knows that, guess what? I didn't lie. I didn't cheat. I didn't do anything. God put himself on the inside of me. Amen? Wow, that's awesome. With somewhere estimated 14 to 17-year-old girl who just said, I'll take that weight. Guys, we don't know what that weight is. We probably don't even have a clue what that kind of weight is. In a third world country, in a third world time, where if you cheated on your husband, you're at odds to being put to death. You might want to write this down, because sometimes there's worse things than being put to death. There's worse things than having somebody hurt you physically. Somebody in here could probably testify. There's worse things than being beaten. There are people in this room that's been spoke to for years certain ways. Praise God, that's more devastating than a fist to the face. That's more devastating than somebody hitting you. Some of you say, man, I'd like to take a physical whooping. Man, I've been verbally beat down all my life. Amen? No, she didn't get, Joseph didn't have her pulled out in front of the city and stoned to death. But I guarantee you that didn't stop the rumors. I guarantee you that didn't stop the communication. I guarantee you that didn't stop her family from going, we all know. Because if you really study out the scriptures, every time they talked about Jesus and Joseph, they would say, that's Joseph's son. Remember? That's Joseph, the carpenter's son. It wasn't. It's God's son. Man, that's Mary. And you could imagine. I don't know what it is like today. It probably is a little different today. I know some people still enjoy this kind of thing. But I guarantee you back then, I bet she had a plan for her marriage. Collie-bum. Her and Joseph were betrothed. They were in the last parts of their engagement. He was adding on to his father's house. And he was getting ready to come and get his bride and have her move in with him. But God interrupted. I bet if you had ran into Mary prior to the day that she had met with Gabriel, I bet she would have told you every aspect of her wedding. I bet she was like, I know exactly where, when, how, right? I know what I want and I know what I don't want, and it better be that way, right? And then God, somebody might want to write this down. God will wreck your plans. We don't get to talk about Mary's wedding. We don't. Oh, we get to talk about Mary during that time as a 3 or 4 week donkey ride to Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant. God. Y'all get the goods out of me right there. That's nice. Joseph, put her on the back of the donkey, right, 9 months pregnant to Bethlehem. You don't think anywhere on that trip, during that ride, she didn't go, man, I wish Jesus would have just left me out of this thing. I would have loved to have had a nice wedding and a normal life. Guys, you can't read this Bible and look at it just like it's some kind of magazine and think, well, they didn't. Man, they had to have nights where they were cold and tired and hungry and, don't get me, frustrated. You can't tell me Joseph pulled a donkey for a couple of weeks and never mess up on the directions. And you didn't ever hear, is there not a faster way to Bethlehem than this? When I read the scriptures, I'm thinking, if God's on the inside of her, couldn't he have just zapped her over to Bethlehem? God, ain't it enough? I'm pregnant. I'm doing everything he asked me to do. But you don't give me the easy route. You give me the hard route. You ever wonder that kind of stuff? You get saved long enough. You get saved and start following Jesus long enough. People will pick you apart. They will pick you apart. They will say, well, why this? And why didn't God do that? If God's doing that. One time I believe God healed my lawnmower. I do. I'm being honest with you. If anybody knows me, I'm the least mechanical person in this room by far. I guarantee. If you want to have a mechanic off, I'll be glad to lose to you. Man, I was broke when I first got saved. I remember my lawnmower going down. I'm standing out there in my yard. I'm like, I've got to get this thing mowed. And I just read a whole book on faith. Just dumb enough. I rolled down there on the floor. I looked around my neighborhood. Man, we were butted up against about five or six houses. And I went, here we go, God. God, start this lawnmower. Because you know I can't fix it, and I can't afford to get it fixed. And I don't even care if it just buzzed me one more time through the yard. I just need this. I just need it today. I ain't kidding you. Reached down there and pulled it, and it started. I mowed the whole yard. It's back in the day, too. Melissa would send out water in a cup. You know, send one of the kids out there on a mission. You know what I'm saying? They'd come out there with a cup of ice water, and I'd hand it to them and just keep on trucking, right? I remember after that, I told somebody, man, I prayed for my lawnmower. And they said, yeah. First thing, they said, why don't you just go down to the hospital and pray for everybody down there? I'm like, man, maybe I should. Maybe I will. But I tell you this, God's good like that. Sometimes you're gonna go through, God's going to send you the hard way, the long way, the rough way, and you're going to wonder why God didn't do it. And you're going to have a little bit of hurt in there. Guys, I'm preaching this to you the best way I know how. Because sometimes we'll think, man, we must not be doing it right if everything ain't just coming out the way we want it to come out. Why does God leave some places void for us? Because you got to think of this. Here's Mary up here in Bethlehem. She's about to have the Savior. Yeah, she's going into labor. Yes, they can't find a room. Yes, they found some grace and they're in the little stable. Thank you. And they're out there, and praise God, you know the thought's got to come across her head. Why did everybody else get a wedding? I didn't, Lord. Why did everybody? This is gonna be hard. This ain't easy. It's going to be hard. And when we got here, we couldn't even get a room. But then everything goes back to this. Everything does. Everything goes back to this, and it should for you. I didn't start this. Jesus started this. I'm glad it's hard if God's in it. I'm glad it's difficult if Jesus is in it. I'm glad it ain't so easy. I still have, golly, if y'all just get what I'm just saying right there. She's sitting there holding the Savior. She's sitting there carrying, hey, hard not, easy or not, way I think it should happen or not, he's still here. Amen? That's what you got to remember. You got to praise God. He must have a plan. Golly, y'all, yeah, he has a plan. All right, 30. Let's move on. 30 years later. Y'all good? Are y'all right with me? 30 years later. Does anybody in here have any resentments from, you know, maybe like 30 years ago? Okay, Warner, yeah, I got you. I got a few. God, I got a few, man. I got a few. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. Right? I guarantee you, rolling around her brain every once in a while, I was like, man, I'm about to lose it right here. I would have loved for my mama to see me go down that aisle with Joseph. I know that bothered her. You know, when you serve God to a level, some people are going to misunderstand you, and they're not going to get all of who you are. But praise God, when things that come easy to everybody else, I guess Mary was sitting there going, I would have loved to have my daddy give me away. He never got to give me away. He probably sat there and was thinking, how do I keep my little girl from being stoned to death? Could you imagine her mom and daddy watching her ride off on a donkey at 9 months? Can I just be real? Can I preach it the real way I want to preach it right here, the way the Lord's giving it to me? Half of them were upset. Half their mind is upset, Charlie, going, I don't want my girl to go. I don't want her to go to Bethlehem 9 months pregnant. You know how mamas and daddies do. Daddy probably checked the donkey over 10 times. But then the other half of them are saying, I'm kind of glad she's going. I'm tired of thinking about it. Because what if it ain't real? What if it ain't real? Here she is 30 years later. She's at a wedding. And she can lean all into her resentments. She can lean all into what I didn't get from God or didn't do this, didn't do that. She looks at Jesus and goes, this girl needs the best wedding ever. They're out of wine, Jesus. And they don't need just any wine. They need miracle wine. They need the best. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Mary could have been sitting there going, well, she don't really deserve a wedding anyway. I didn't get one. At least she got a half a good wedding. Right? Don't make a prayer for somebody else who get half of something that you got. No, she goes to Jesus. Now, y'all are thinking. I can hear you thinking from here right now. I can hear you. You know what she did? She said, you know what? If I couldn't have it, I still want somebody else to have. I'm going to pray for somebody else to get more than I got from God. Ain't that that's a ministry right there. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour's not yet come. It's not as bad as it sounds. It really isn't. He was just asking her a simple question. Why are you asking me this right now? You know, I've got a minute. You know, I'll know. I love this. I love even Jesus' mama's right. Some of you mothers, every once in a while, just give me a break and say amen or something. Moms just know, especially with their sons. Okay, it's time. Go ahead and get to work. Amen? They just got that intuition about when to tell their children to get at it. Amen? Goodness gracious. All right, y'all just sit there and play cool like your mama. Every one of you mamas in here going, I know. Now, this knucklehead right here don't know nothing, but I know. All right, hold on to it. I don't care. Verse 5 is one of the best verses in the whole Bible. I think Nike owes her like a huge chunk of money. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just do it. Right, I love that. He goes. He's like, why are you asking me this? She never refers back to Jesus again. She looks at the servants and says, "Whatever he tells you to do, go do it." That's you can hang your hat on that verse right there alone. Stop sitting around trying to get everybody to agree with what you're doing. If God tells you to do something, just do it. Do it exactly the way he tells you to do it, when he tells you to do it, how he tells you to do it, in total obedience. If you'll do that. Praise God, it'll work out a million times out of a million. It might not look good early, but it'll get there. Verse 6. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews containing 2 or 3 firkins. apiece. These things are huge. There's six of them. The number of six always represents man, right? Man. God made man on the sixth day. They're made for washing. They're meant for cleansing. What it was is the Jewish people at this time were, they were like insane about washing. Washing the outside of the cups, washing the inside of the cup, washing the hands, washing the feet. They had to be washed, cleaned up. So what these were, they were six huge wash pots for people and the items in the wedding. They are not meant to be drank out of. They are not meant to be used for anything of honor. They are vessels of dishonor. They are vessels that should be used to make something honorable, but not be something honorable. Whew, God, that's a message right there. I'm going to figure that one out. I'll go back and find a way to preach that. So Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. They just done what Jesus said to do. If you ever feel like God's pulling you and drawing you to do something, just do it. I love when somebody comes up to me, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, I'm not going to do this, but I feel like God wants me to do it. Hey, if that's God, you do it. That is God. That's God pulling you or drawing you to something. Amen? If you're wanting to be better, if you're wanting to be better for people, if you're wanting to be better for your wife, your mother, father, brother, sister, community, whatever, that's God. God's drawing you to be better. What's even better than that is when you just come to Him and say, God, I resign my whole life to you. So they go fill the water pots to the brim, and He said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. This is the guy that's in charge of the whole feast. This guy's been putting on a feast for the whole wedding. He knows good and he knows bad. He knows what's supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there. And they go, I've preached this here before and I don't mind to preach, but could you see it? Can you see it? This guy dips in there. Out of the stinking toe jam place. I don't know which servant it was, but boy, I'll guarantee he was like this. Right? Because when they filled it, they filled it up with water. They dipped it in, right? And they were going to the feast. Somebody take that. Jesus says, take it. Hey, Jesus said, take it to the master of the feast. Can you look foolish serving Jesus? Can you look weird? Can you be taking something to somebody else, but on the way you're thinking, how is this going to work? How is this going to help anything? God's done this to me so many times. Go and tell them, well, man, how's that going to work? That's going to look impossible. It's just going to look weird. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, he actually hands it to him. That's got to be an act of faith anyway. Hands it to him. He drinks it. Good Lord. And knew not, didn't even know where it comes from. Nobody ever knows where it comes from, right? Nobody ever knows how it really got there. Salvation, says it's like the wind, is what Jesus told Nicodemus. Says it's like the wind. You really can't see it. You just know when it's there because it has effect on you. He's drinking this wine. He's looking. He goes, man, this is some good stuff. Where'd this come from? And I guarantee the person handed to him is thinking, do we tell him or not tell him? Right? Do we divulge the information or do we not? Because it could go either way at this point, right? Well, I love this part right here. And knew not which it was, but the servant which drew the water. God, I should have read that first. But the servant which drew the water knew. There we go. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. That's good, ain't it? It's the best to the end. If you didn't know that, that's how Jesus works always. Adam and then Jesus. if you didn't recognize it all the way through the scriptures, there was always the firstborn and then the second one, and the second son would always usurp the authority of the older brother, right? Because the younger would be the greater, and everybody couldn't figure it out. Every time Jesus done something great in the tribe of Israel, he'd always take the younger brother and put him over the younger brother, and everybody kept saying, wonder why he's doing that, wonder why he's doing that. Wonder why. The reason he's doing that is because he was going to put Jesus over Adam. What Jesus done was greater than what Adam did. Amen? That's what Jesus does. Oh, let's go one further. Y'all don't believe that. Let me give you one more. Your first man, your first physical man, when you get born again, your second man, he's greater than your first man. Whew. He'll outlive your first man. Amen? Jesus saves the best for last. Amen? I forgot one part that we always preach here. I got to put that in, right? We're talking. What did he fill the? What did they fill up them water pots with? What did he hand the governor of the feast? And then he's talking to the bridegroom about the wine. So when did we stop talking about water and start talking about wine? When did the transformation take place? Somewhere. From the fill up of the cup to the lip of the man, right? I almost left this part out, Charlie. One of the greatest things, the only thing I know scientifically, water has no living organisms in it. None. Or it shouldn't. Let me explain another way. Wine has DNA. If you put wine under a microscope, you can find out where the wine came from. Which branch, which region, whatever. You can say, hey, that came from these branches. It has DNA. Water, you can put on a microscope, doesn't have DNA. Amen? Whew. Golly, man, y'all are so cool. I mean, I brought that out. And y'all are sitting here like a bum. Go ahead. Somewhere from the old nasty wash pots, us, Jesus draws out, takes it to somebody. It transforms from a dead thing to a living thing. There's another one. God just changing dead stuff to living stuff. Like he's done since the beginning. And they taste it. Why did you save the best for the last? Because that's what Jesus does. Everybody, all the 12 disciples, all the apostles are sitting there looking and going, man, did that just happen? First miracle that's ever been worked. Why did he do it, right? Verse 11, the beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Can I sum this up just real quick? Can I sum this up and we'll be done? Our marriages, our marriage ceremonies could be great revivals if we'll get Jesus involved in them. If you'll get Jesus in your ministry, in your marriage will become a ministry. Amen? It's one of the greatest things when a husband and a wife both love Jesus and want to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. That marriage will grow stronger and deeper than any marriage that doesn't do it. What you've got to do is you've got to allow Jesus to fill that marriage up. Let it become a useful organism, living organism together to share to a lost and dying world. It's the greatest first miracle ever recorded in the Bible. Let's all stand. What a great opportunity it is to come and preach on these Sundays and Wednesday nights. Half our church is over there and we're still got a good number here. Last Wednesday was really exciting. I've been trying to thwart people from coming. Telling people don't show up. It's kind of like reverse psychology. Don't come ruin that Wednesday night service. More people show up. Man, I just love the Spirit of God. I love when you come in here and there's no put on. We're something. Here's what we are. We're people wanting the Word of God to infiltrate our lives so we can be effective outside these doors. This church, this ministry is not about us. It used to be about us because it got established. It had to grow. It had to get bigger. But now this church, this ministry, is about reaching other people for Christ. That's it. We get fed here. We worship together here. We're family. We're forging together. But praise God, every time we walk out these doors, you should be saying, God, put me in front of somebody who needs Jesus. Let me share the gospel with somebody because that's what's most needed. Let's pray. We'll get out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to stand and preach the Word of God tonight. What an awesome opportunity it is. I don't take it lightly. I love it. I'm so grateful for it. I thank you for all the listeners tonight. I could see their ears open, their eyes attentive, their minds soaking in stuff. Lord, I pray for that. I'm thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Come back.